Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. Hey, yo, you know what it is. Welcome back, everybody, every lovely person listening to this episode. I have a pep in my step today. So first off, just want to say welcome back to Dear Abby. I am your host. I will be forever your host. And also, I have some exciting news for today. And that is, I can finally announce that my sister had her baby. My sister had her baby and I'm over the moon. She has blessed me with already one nephew and now I have two nephews, totaling three because of my brother and my sister-in-law. That's now three nieces and nephews all together. So I am really raking it in with that. And I couldn't be more excited and I couldn't be more lucky and grateful. And you know, it's been a long time since I've been able to hold a little baby. They're straight from heaven and they just have the purest little souls. And I love the little newborn scrunch. That's one of my favorite things about newborns is how they scrunch. They look like a little inchworm. So adorable and they smell so good, even though I haven't really been able to hold them because I've been sick. So that's been devastating, but I'm very excited and I'm very, very, very grateful and blessed to have so many people to love. I feel like my heart is going to burst because I can't believe I have so many people in my life that mean so much to me. It's been so fun and beautiful and empowering to watch my sister become a mom again, I guess, if that makes sense, and to watch her be the mother of a newborn all over again. And she really impressed me the first time when she had her baby all natural and everything like that. So beautiful to me. And that's so empowering because I think, hey, you know what? We have similar genetics. So if you can do it, then I can do it. And also just how she is able to maintain, you know, maybe she doesn't feel like this all the time. I don't know, but she's able to maintain herself and also fully embrace being a mother. And I think it's beautiful to watch. And she's inspiring. And also hearing her birth story, I want to have her on the podcast. She'll probably tell it on her podcast, but I don't care. I want to hear it again. And I want to ask my questions because I think even though every single birth story is a little bit different, I just think her birth story this time around, I was so impressed by and in awe of how much of a baller she is, how she has fully like embraced that change and she does it so beautifully and gracefully and she's so cool. I think Chelsea has told me my whole life that maybe I'm putting words in her mouth, but sometimes I feel like she's mentioned that she thinks I'm cool, okay? Now, is she just being nice to me? Possibly. Does she sometimes think I'm cool? Hopefully. But I will say, watching her the past couple years, I think she is just the coolest. And now, so more than ever, I think she's just the coolest big sister. And I'm so lucky. And that's all I will say. So shove it up. Shove it. Anyways, very excited. Blah, blah, blah. Now on to me and my week. Well, watching... Okay, so when Chelsea went into labor, I watched her son, her other son, and pretty much for about 48 hours, my mom came to help the latter end of the days, but for the most part, I was a single mother. I got to role play as a single mother, and when I take my nephew out, I really like to lean into, I am a strong single mother, this is my son. I've worked hard. I have two jobs. When people say he's so beautiful, I think, thank you so much. And I say, thank you so much. Also, if I'm taking out my nieces or nephews and someone thinks that I'm like their mother, I'm not going to be like, actually, he's my nephew. Or maybe that's the normal thing to do. I don't know. But if I'm taking care of my sister's children and I'm outside and they think that I'm the mother, other people think that I'm the mother, I 100% will play into that because it's fun. Yeah, they're my children. I have two jobs. It's exhausting. My mom helps a lot with them. Father's out of the picture. I don't know why sometimes it feels good to really just create a whole different scenario in your head as to what the reality of your life is. It's just fun. I don't actually believe it, but it's fun. I know I'm not the only woman that does that. I promise you, every single nanny that has like a cute kid, you know, that they're going out to the store with and they think, oh my gosh, and they get compliments like, oh, your son is so cute or your daughter's so pretty, blah, blah, blah. They're 100% saying thank you. They're not going to be like, I'm the nanny. That was a crazy couple of days watching him, though. It was pretty exhausting, I will say. Some people would think that watching a kid all day would be, you know, they'd go home, they think, oh man, I don't want kids or I don't want kids for a long time. But for me, I'm like, oh, I want kids even more now. Like, it's hard because I love kids, but if it's someone else's kid, I don't care as much. Like, I love kids, but I don't love kids. You know what I mean? Also, it's like if someone else is having a baby or someone else that I don't know very well has a baby, I'm so scared to hold the baby. Like, I don't want to hold, I'm scared to hold the baby. It's too tiny. But if it's someone that I know and love, I want to hold the baby all the time because I'm also more comfortable holding the baby. Whilst babysitting, I got sick and now it's been a spiral of I don't even know who got sick first, me or my nephew. But because I was watching him, I feel like we got sick at the same time or something, or I don't know where it came from, but we both got sick and then the sickness started to spread to everyone else. And then pretty much it's been lockdown with the newborn and Chelsea, you know, haven't really been able to hold the baby. Well, I haven't been able to hold the baby. Chelsea has. Chelsea's not sick. But because I'm sick and now my mom got sick when she was visiting and it just was a whole thing. So it's been kind of a depressing week, which leads me into kind of my episode for today. And then also, wait, I didn't even say what we're talking about, but I want to talk about feeling lonely, first of all, and that sometimes it's okay to just feel lonely. And then I want to talk about forgetfulness, because this is something that I have been bad at my whole life, as I forget things. Like, I have not held myself accountable, first of all. Let me just say, I don't just forget things. I don't make it a priority to remember things or write things down. Like, I just think, oh, I'll just, if something's important, I'll remember it. And I do not until it's too late. And then I've upset someone or I've missed something or I've missed a birthday again that I promise I would never forget again. And so we're going to get into that. And then we'll do a Dear Abby. So that's what we're doing today. Just as a precursor, what? Just as a heads up. I won't have, my episodes will still go live on YouTube, but my boyfriend is going to Europe for a full month without me, and which is fine. It's fine. No, I'm actually really excited for him, but it will be sad. Speaking of lonely. Yeah, he'll be gone for a month, and I use his camera because his camera's pretty nice. Yeah, I wasn't able to batch episodes. I'll still have them on YouTube, and my episodes will still come out, but they're not going to be on video, so they'll be on YouTube. They'll probably just be like a little picture or I don't know, something that will be posted on there, but just a heads up. So I'm not doing videos from now on. It's just for the next 3 weeks, I think, 3 to 4 weeks. So that was an L, was getting sick and all that fiasco. But the dub was obviously that I got a nephew and now I have more babies to love. So very excited about that. I struggle a lot with feeling lonely and feeling not necessarily just lonely, but it's being really uncomfortable being alone sometimes and not finding a lot of peace in my loneliness. And then feeling guilty because I see all of these things about how you should, you know, be super grateful when you're alone and like that time is so precious and spend it on hobbies and, you know, you get all of this great advice, which is great advice. But sometimes when maybe this came up recently when I was sick. So I couldn't really see anyone. My family was in town. I couldn't go see them. Couldn't hang out with my mom. Couldn't hold the baby. Couldn't go see Chelsea. You know, couldn't, I don't know, I guess be there for her as much as I would want to. And my boyfriend didn't want to get sick, you know, so I was pretty much just go to work for some of the days. The first day I didn't go back to work because I was deathly ill. Yeah, I went to work and then I'd come home and I would just be all alone all night and all alone all morning, go to work and then come home. And I don't have like a lot of really close friends yet at work. Like I have a couple people I say hi to and like, you know, I'm comfortable with now, but not to the point where I feel not lonely at work, if that makes sense. Because I think for my, just my personality, it's really hard to change to like feel instantly connected to people. I just felt really lonely because I couldn't really see anyone and it was for a couple of days. I think it was heightened because my family was in town and I couldn't go see them. And when I did, like, it was basically, like, across the room for, like, a couple minutes. And then, like, I had to go back home. Loneliness has been something that I've never really realized that I experienced until recently. And this, like, familiar feeling of feeling really lonely. And I think just, like, misunderstood. Just, like, what if nobody ever gets me? I think OCD has stolen a lot of my love for being introverted or alone, like I normally love being alone. But sometimes I'm starting to wonder if I just tell myself that I love to be alone just because I feel really scared of disappointment from other people. Either way, like as in I'm going to disappoint them or they're going to disappoint me. And so I just prefer to be by myself, which is ironic because I think I'm probably more mean to myself than anybody else has ever been in my life. I've just felt really lonely. I don't know. And that's not like a reflection of my current relationship or anything like that. I think because I was sick and I couldn't really see anyone, I felt extra lonely. And it just got me thinking, like, I think it's just inevitable sometimes to feel lonely. And that's okay. I think we try so hard not to ever feel sad or not to ever feel disappointed or not ever feel uncomfortable or these negative feelings. If you're feeling lonely, you should just be more grateful that you're alone or something. And I think that's great for when you don't want to like wallow in it, but it's okay to just recognize that life is better spent with people. I don't want to be alone forever, and I don't want to, and that's not becoming like a OCD fear of like, what if I'm alone forever? That's obviously kind of scary, but I don't think just my realization of, oh, like I want to put an effort with the relationships in my life and that's really what it's all about for me. It's not good for me to be alone that much. I really do think we need each other and that's been proven time and time again. Anyway, so I guess if you've been feeling lonely because maybe you don't, or you're not in a relationship, or you maybe don't feel as close to your family or you don't live near people, I just want to validate it's okay if you want to be near people and especially people you love. That's not a bad thing and you're not weak for that. I think you're very strong for recognizing when you feel the most joy. But in the meantime, like when I was feeling sick, I didn't really cope well with it, like with the loneliness. I just kind of wallowed in it probably for too long. And then I got really scared and then it just kind of spiraled a little bit from there of just feeling totally alone, even though I have plenty of people around me that if I really needed something, they would be there. But yeah, it's okay to miss people. It's okay to feel sad that you're not close to your family or that if you sometimes just really long to be in a relationship, that's totally fine. I think that's healthy. We really want close, intimate relationships. The only warning there is just if it's like out of desperation because you don't want to be alone or you can't stand being alone. I think it's more so I'm pretty happy with my life. I have a good job. I love my apartment. I love all this stuff. But I was like, if I didn't have my boyfriend or if I didn't have my family, I would be so sad. Like, I just don't want to live a life that's all by myself. And maybe some people want to each their own. I do not want that life. And it's okay if you don't want that life either. I'm sure sometimes if you're single and you've been looking for a relationship or whatever, or if you're even married, but you live far away from your family, it's okay that you miss them. You're not weak. You're not just trying to be negative. Like, you just miss your family. You miss the people that you love. It's that simple. And if you're not in a relationship and you have been kind of looking, or you want to be, it can be really hard, and that can be really discouraging. And it's a really beautiful thing to want. Oh, like I was saying, the only warning there, I think, is if you really crave the connection, if you want deep, meaningful relationships, but you don't want to be vulnerable, you don't want to be honest, you don't want people to see your flaws, that's also not going to work. So yeah, sometimes loneliness just comes in waves randomly. And I think that's okay. I think that's just part of life. I really let myself feel it, maybe a little bit too long. Sometimes it just feels good to cry, you know, cry it out, get mad, go to a boxing class, punch stuff, whatever. If it feels unfair, you don't have to be. I want this, and I will always want this to be a safe place to where no one feels like they have to pretend to be something that they're not. I really believe like that's not good for you. And I think striving for something better is great. But I think if that comes at the cost of being mean to yourself, or what is it called? Suppressing feelings. I think that's incredibly unhelpful. So it doesn't mean you have to like believe that every feeling means something gigantic. It just means if you feel sad randomly or lonely randomly or whatever, it's okay to feel that every once in a while. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean no one's ever loved you or nobody knows you. No one understands you. It just means for right now, you just feel a little bit lonely. Okay, so that's all I'm going to talk about for that segment, if you will. Switching gears. I have always been a very forgetful person. I, again, to clarify, did not choose to prioritize writing things down, making lists, not being forgetful. I just was like, oh, I just am so bad at birthdays. Like, I just forget. I'm so sorry. It's my mental health. Like, I just forget things, you know, and I kind of blame it on my, I don't know, just forgetfulness, as if that cannot be helped. But this next month, I have a lot going on and a lot of different events, a lot of things happening, birthdays, family events. Like, there's just so much stuff that's happening. And I've always been someone that I want to express. I have a lot of feelings, and I like to express my feelings with like notes or heartfelt something, not necessarily buying gifts because I don't have a lot of money, but I like doing handcrafted things or making a cake or something a little bit more homemade. I get really disappointed with myself because I'll just forget to do stuff, and then it's a day of and I don't have time to make the cake that I wanted to, or write the card that I wanted to write and make it really meaningful. Then I feel like, even though it might not directly disappoint people in my life because they didn't know what intent I had before that I forgot, but I feel like I've definitely disappointed friends and family with forgetting things. Definitely my boyfriend. Like, I used to just forget everything. I'd be late, and he had to be like, just so you know, it's very hurtful when you're late or when you forget this or when I ask you to do this and you don't do that. Like, I don't feel loved. I don't feel seen. That was an awakening point where I had to really self-reflect and realize that he was so right. I just make up excuses, and I fully am capable of writing things down. So that's what I want to talk about in case you are a fellow forgetful person. And you maybe blame it on something. I just want to be real with you. You can do better, okay? We both can do better. I just don't want to disappoint myself and not be able to do the things that I want to do for other people because I don't write things down and I don't remind myself. Just because you have to write something down does not mean that you don't love them because you don't just remember. I think the act of writing something down, if you are a forgetful I think the act of writing something down and making 20 different alarms or notifications the day of, the day before, the week before, 2 days after, just in case, I think that is the act of love if you forget things and you don't just have like a good memory with birthdays, events, everything like that. Because for me now, I have And I literally just started this like a month ago. So this is very new for me, and I'm going to hold myself accountable because I really want to make this change and be there more for people that I love. And I've just been writing down every event possible that I can think of in the moment or right after the moment when something was planned. And then I write down, okay, for instance, if my, by the time this comes out, we were at my sister's birthday party, and I want to write like a very thoughtful note to her. And so I had a note made a couple days ago to write a note. And then I have another note for the day before her birthday, just reminding me of that and then getting anything else I need for her birthday. And then on her birthday, I also have a reminder. So I have three consecutive reminders spaced out perfectly for me to remember to do the things that I need to do. There's nothing wrong with that, I've learned. I actually won't remember things unless I write them down and I get notifications, because I don't know, it's just my brain is like going 100 miles per hour. I just am not good at, I don't know what it is. I don't know how you could possibly get better at that other than writing things down. There is no solution to memory loss. You know what I mean? How do you help that? You can't. You just have to write things down. Yeah, I just think back to so many times where I would forget my friends' birthdays. I am the worst. I have been the worst friend when it comes to birthdays, events, stuff like that. Like, I just always forget. And then I feel so guilty and I feel so bad and so stupid for forgetting again, year after year, and needing someone to text me and remind me, or like the day of or that night or something, or I see a post and then I remember and then I'm like, oh, I should have sent something, because I really do want to do, I don't know, support the people that I love more and make them know that I love them, because you just never know. You never know. Once you go through some pretty bad mental stuff and you realize how low someone can be feeling about themselves, that nobody, like, when I'm fully convinced that nobody cares about me and someone writes me something or texts me something, it can help me so much just snap back into reality. And you want to do that for other people because you just never know. And even if they seem like they're doing okay, not that you should assume that everyone's doing horrible, but you should assume that everyone's human, so they have up and down days. Yeah, I just don't want to do that anymore. It feels terrible. I've also just been planning more, like more to-do lists. Some people like to-do lists, some people don't. I never thought I really did until recently, and then I love to-do lists. I don't always follow them. Like, sometimes I'll make plans like, oh, this day I'll do this, 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 and this, and this. If I make it too detailed, I won't probably stick with it. I don't know. Maybe that's bad. Maybe I should just be sticking with it. But if I do, like, I want to just get A, B, C, and D done today, whatever times, however, and then I do it. I feel like that's probably what works best for me for now. Could change. It's crazy when you start to realize how much you can change about your behavior and your life and your perception of things and what you can do to change things about yourself or just about your patterns that you don't love. That produces a whole lot of shame sometimes because you know better and you don't do better. And that's just the circle of life. But it is possible to just slowly make those changes, and slowly your shame starts to go away little by little. I've been making all the plans. I have so many notifications. Not notifications, just like little reminders that pop up. It's really incredible how many reminders I need to like actually remember something. But that's okay. That's where we're at. Okay. So we have a Dear Abby. Let me pull it up because it was just an Instagram DM. Okay. So I'm reading a DM that was sent to me, and it's kind of like a longer message, but I think it's something that maybe more people resonate with than, you know, we would think, or I would think, or you would think. So I'm just going to read it. And also, obviously it's anonymous, but I did technically get permission to talk about this. I did say that I would be talking about it. So just FYI, if you DM me, I'm not going to like call you out or anything on the podcast. But sometimes you guys do send me like Dear Abby questions, or you guys will just ask me a question and I'm assuming I can use it on the podcast, but I also just send a message just in case. I'm going through the hardest breakup heartbreak of my life. I was looking at engagement rings and wedding venues with this man, and he ended it last week because my anxiety is too much for him to handle. He's also a Christian and even looking into going into ministry full-time as a career. I'm in a dark place and feel like everything has been pulled out from under me. There are so many more details, but that's the gist. I guess I'm asking if you have any resources you recommend that could help me in this time or advice. I feel so stuck and lost. And then she apologizes for the long message, but she shouldn't apologize for the long message. I think the more information sometimes with these advice things are more helpful for me because I'm able to, I just have more information to go off of and it's never a burden. So first of all, again, I just want to say thank you for trusting me and messaging me and telling me a little bit about your story and what's going on right now. First off, so not fair. And that sucks. That's sucky. I've definitely been there in the trenches of that, where you feel like your life has been flipped upside down. And I'm trying to think of like what to recommend is one. Sometimes when we try to like hurry up and heal or hurry up and get over it, I think that sometimes makes things more stored up inside of you, and surrendering maybe to that this part of your life is going to be kind of insane and very hectic. Definitely try to perhaps drop any resistance to how this is different from maybe what you had pictured, because I think that was a huge roadblock for me. Was I was like, this is not how I pictured my life. I wanted to have kids by now. I wanted to live here next to my family and have, you know, 3 kids. My resistance to the fact that that's not what, you know, I think God had in store for me, because that's just my faith, that's what I believe, but that's not how life is turning out, I guess, in this moment. And the more I resisted that, the more pain I caused myself. I think try to drop resistance as much as you can to just the situation. I remember feeling very detached from my life, like confused. Yeah, you weren't married, so you don't have to go through a divorce, but you were still with him for a long time, it sounds like, and you guys were about to get married and engaged and all that fun stuff. So it's heartbreaking, and I don't have, unfortunately, a quick solution to feel totally good about a breakup, but there's a couple things that come to mind. The first thing is, I just want to validate how annoying and frustrating it is when you have someone, and I don't know your religious background or your spiritual beliefs or anything, but when you have someone that is very hypocritical, because I think everyone's a hypocrite in some way. And I also don't really like pointing fingers and being like, you're bad at this, you know, stuff like that. But some people are extra hypocritical, and it's very frustrating to see someone put on a persona in public, but then, you know, behind closed doors or in their relationship, they are like dropping the ball on all ends and just not putting in any effort in that area of their life. So that's very confusing, and I'm sorry. I hope that if, I don't know your beliefs again, so you might not even care at all about this, but if you need to hear it, his actions, what he did, does not represent the love that God has for you, a creator has for you. He is separate from that, completely separate from that. Just hopefully that's helpful, but if not, that's totally fine. Second, this kind of still is on the spiritual path, but I don't want to like force my beliefs on anyone at all. I would feel a little bit weird and like I'm lying if I didn't say that my prayer life, I don't know, I prayed so much during that time, during my breakup, during my divorce, I mean, and that was incredibly helpful because I did feel comforted. And I also, that also could look like meditation, or doesn't have to be that type of a prayer. And I don't pray, I don't know, like prayers, I guess. I just say whatever's on my mind, on my heart, hoping that God's listening. And I tried to like figure out maybe he's telling me something, probably not. But anyways, it was very comforting and it was very helpful to talk through my emotions kind of out loud to myself sometimes. So that was very helpful. But if it's not prayer, it's just meditation and being very, very present with yourself and fully feeling everything, because I can intellectualize, or we can intellectualize like our emotions and all that stuff, but it will never substitute actually feeling them and being in your body and in your experience. So try not to escape that way by like intellectualizing everything and ruminating and trying to figure out where everything went wrong, because you won't ever know. And you don't know what was going on in his head. You don't know why it had to end. You don't know why he didn't want to get there with you. As painful as it is, you'll just never know. And you, and that sucks. I feel so like unempathetic to be, I don't know, talking like this, but that is just the reality. Third thing is, do not care about getting revenge on this guy. Just let that go. The sweetest revenge is no revenge at all, because the second you start wanting to take revenge or go to the gym is very, very helpful, especially for trying to heal things within your body. And I had so many awesome experiences in the gym of crying because I felt overwhelmed by emotions, because I felt like things were coming to the surface. I felt connected to my body and all that good stuff. So that is also, side note, a great thing to do. But if you're wanting to go to the gym to get like a big dumpy, and then you can make him jealous if he sees you, or maybe you post things online to act like you're totally okay when you're not, so that he doesn't think that he has any power over you. But that exact action of caring if what he thinks is giving him power still. So the best advice I could give you is just, it's done. Don't try to get revenge. Don't try to think about what he's thinking about. This is all about you. It's your time to be present with yourself, to have fun, to enjoy things that you like to do, even if it might hurt your heart still. It might feel a little bit bleh for a while. I still think you should just go after what you value, what your passions are. Do things that you love, that you've always loved to do. Unfortunately, I don't know if there was cheating or like infidelity or whatever, but if there was, it's a little bit inevitable to have trust issues. And issues I don't love, because it's not like your issue. It's just people sometimes aren't trustworthy. So it's okay to have your guard up sometimes until it's ready to come down, until someone proves that they're trustworthy. Now you're just going to have an extra crazy radar on that stuff. And it can be a little bit irrational sometimes. So just a heads up on that. It is sometimes helpful to go to therapy. That's another tool. If that's like becoming something that's impeding your everyday life with all your relationships. But yeah, it's done. He's stupid. He messed that one up. And I don't know if he'll ever regret it, because some people are just, they don't get it and they don't want to get it. They could if they wanted, but I don't think they want to. And sucks. But you can always use... This sounds so cliche, but I feel like in the hardest times is where it really started to show my character and show what the grit that I have, I think, deep down inside, that's given to all of us to get through these things and to come out better than ever. Yeah, that's my advice. And also, this is a side note, don't be bitter, because it's really hard to just be super forgiving and be super da-da-da-da-da, you know, when this happens. It's very easy to be really bitter and ticked off at everyone, and everyone sucks. And it's okay to have those like thoughts and feelings, but I think just from personal experience, my life has been a lot better when I'm able to forgive and just let him go, let that relationship go. It was what it was. It doesn't have to control me moving forward. Not every guy is like that. Not everyone is like that, that it was a one-time thing. And it just sucks that it's, you know, skewed your experience a little bit, but it's not helpless. So yeah, hopefully that's helpful. That's going to be it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. If you want to support the podcast, you can find me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Like, subscribe, rate the show. It's very, very helpful. I want to get out of corporate America, you guys. So if you could rate the show, that'd be awesome. I'm kidding, but not really. Thank you for all the support on the podcast. I do really appreciate it. And I love you guys. Bye. Have a good weekend. Oh, I don't take in a right to join at late. 눈치 보면서 들어가야 할 때 찾아. 나머진 바빠. 개 설레임 바꾸는 사람들.